Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be.
And a very good afternoon to you once again. Jason Hawes here on American Faith Today. It is Saturday, March 12th, 2016. So glad to have you, whether you're listening live or whether you'll wind up following up and listening on the archives. I appreciate it very much either way. And hope you've had a fantastic week. And hope that perhaps wherever you may live, that you've been able to kind of enjoy the week, as we've somewhat been able to enjoy the week weather-wise here in this part of the country, in this part of Ohio, although it has been at times rainy this week. And as I look outside right now, it's not raining. It hasn't rained today, I don't believe, but it is gray and dreary. But temperature-wise, even though we're officially not officially into spring yet, temperature-wise, for pretty much all of the week, it's been spring-like temperatures. So, you know, it's almost eerie or certainly quite odd that maybe for the first time in my life that I can recall, and unfortunately, I haven't kept a log of every winter that I've experienced in my nearly 40 years of existence. Probably a rather boring log anyway, with the exception of a couple of really heavy snowfall winters. But this is maybe, to the best of my rudimentary recollection, maybe the first winter that I can recall in which we really haven't had one to speak of. And sometimes in some of the states around us, such as Pennsylvania, was hit hard around the time of the March for Life, which was back in, I believe, January. They were hit with a heavy snowstorm that actually it was thought that we might get that kind of skipped right over us. But I mean, there's been literally basically no snowfall accumulation this entire winter to speak of. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all, but it is kind of odd. But like I said, hopefully you've enjoyed whatever this week has brought you. And I wanted to talk today, though, about basically the overall theme, of course, is evangelicals and Christians and Christian leaders and what have you, preachers that kind of are lining up both for and against Donald Trump. But I wanted to talk at the top because, and by the way, if you are listening live, the chat room is open and the call-in line of 347-989-8387 is available as well. But I wanted to talk at the top of the show here about some of the things that have happened here recently involving the Donald Trump campaign and kind of lead into how I settled on doing this show, I guess, in a roundabout way. Even as I was posting something on my personal Facebook timeline this morning. A couple recent events that have transpired involving either Donald Trump or his campaign that, quite frankly, one of them right now, I guess, is big news. The other should be big news or should be bigger news, and it really is not. But in order, of course, what we have learned is at one of Donald Trump's rallies, his campaign manager, a man, I don't have his name here in front of me, but I believe his name was Corey Lewandowski, grabbed hold of a female journalist, a female reporter who she was at the rally. She wanted to ask Donald Trump a question. And his campaign manager grabbed hold of her arm with a lot of force, with a lot of pressure, enough to injure her, basically. I mean, enough to hurt her, enough to wind up leaving finger-shaped bruises on her arm, which she shared on her Twitter feed. The reporter's name happens to be Michelle Fields, and you've probably heard this story if you follow these types of things. But her name is Michelle Fields. She is a Fox News contributor. She's a reporter, a journalist, though, employed by Breitbart.com, the website, the news source. And unfortunately, I say that somewhat laughingly these days, but founded, of course, by Andrew Breitbart after his name. But anyway, she went to ask Donald Trump a question. His campaign manager grabbed hold of her forcefully, pulled her back away from Trump. She stumbled and almost fell. Like I said, she has had these finger-shaped bruises that developed on her arm. It was witnessed by, I don't know how many people, but it was witnessed at least by one individual who is a reporter with the Washington Post. And, of course, the Trump campaign totally denied this. And, unfortunately, many people who are supporting Donald Trump naturally believed his word versus hers, naturally believed his campaign, his people within his campaign, over the word of this journalist. I came across one of them on the Free Republic Facebook page just yesterday, I believe, or a couple of days ago. Even as at this time, we are seeing more and more evidence come out to verify the account of Michelle Fields. Like I said, this reporter with the Washington Post witnessed the whole thing and wrote about it, identified Trump's campaign manager as the guilty party. We know that Trump's campaign manager initially apparently told, I think it was Breitbart and maybe the Daily Beast, that he did, in his words, manhandle a reporter who he did not realize was a Breitbart.com reporter, but thought that she was, in his words, an adversarial journalist. Which is scary enough, but more on Breitbart in just a minute here. And this rather incestuous relationship that they now have with Donald Trump. But the campaign manager admitted it initially that he did manhandle what he thought was a mean and nasty adversarial journalist. He also, you have the documentary corroboration evidence, the second witness, if you will, the Washington Post reporter. And as the Trump campaign continued to deny this, we had more evidence come out. A leaked audio from the event, from the rally, in which you can hear Michelle Fields and this Washington Post reporter commenting on and having a conversation about what just happened and who was the person who basically assaulted her, which again was Trump's campaign manager. And we now have a video that has come out that not everything in the video is completely clear or is kind of a play-by-play all the way through, but there does appear to be enough in this video to, again, back up the account of Michelle Fields, that Trump's campaign manager grabbed hold of her, pulled her away from him, and again, basically not severely injured her, but did cause an injury to her in the process. And we now have as well the man who was hired by Breitbart to be a PR person for them, who has now quit because he does not basically like the way Breitbart has handled this. When it happened, there were numerous people who claimed that Breitbart was almost going out of their way to protect Donald Trump and his campaign over their own employee, over their own journalist. And this person who worked PR for him went on CNN on Don Lemon's show, basically said that at Breitbart, they have an incredible bias for Donald Trump. And it's been theorized, by the way, that by, again, some of Breitbart's staff who aren't too happy with the whole thing, that perhaps Donald Trump actually paid Breitbart to give him positive coverage and positive reviews and positive news stories, highlight the positive, kind of ignore the negative. And, you know, it's very distressing, I might say, that we would have this going on, because as conservatives, we have lamented and called out the media bias for the left in this country for how long now? Seemingly forever. And yet here we have some of our conservative news sources that can be, that from the appearances of everything anyway, can be bought, can be just as big of shills, can be just as big of bootlickers for a politician, for a potential presidential nominee, for a potential president, that the media just completely in the tank for him, where they will even support him over their own employees, over their own journalists. You know, that is frightening in a way. It really is. You know, Drudge Report, same thing. Drudge Report, I mean, this should be a huge news story. This should be on the front page of the Drudge Report. She is now actually pursuing criminal charges against Donald Trump's campaign manager. Where's it at on the Drudge Report? Where's it been on the front page of drudgereport.com? From what I can tell, I haven't gone there all the time, but I've checked periodically, and I've relied on people who probably check it more often than I do. It's not there. It is not there. What you will find at various times on the Drudge Report is articles linked that basically belittle and mock the competitors, the other candidates, the main threats, if you will, to Donald Trump, whether it's Marco Rubio, who's not really much of a threat at this point, or whether it's Ted Cruz. And there's a lot of people who thereby also think that Drudge perhaps took a payment or made some type of agreement with Donald Trump. Again, very, very distressing. But, you know, one of the things that really struck me last night was this incident that happened in Chicago, in which we had a brawl, a riot, and apparently a brawl that happened at what was scheduled to be a Trump rally in Chicago, Illinois. You had probably some Black Lives Matter people. You had, as it turns out, MoveOn.org. That's been documented, that MoveOn.org was agitating people to protest and to riot at the Donald Trump rally. But you had a brawl breakout. You had police injured in this brawl. I've seen pictures and video of that. And, you know, I posted this on my Facebook timeline. It was just off the top of my head. And, you know, so it's not necessarily anything that's super deep or super great, but there were a lot of people, several of my Facebook friends, who liked it. And I just said, there is so much I am trying to process regarding this brawl in Chicago that canceled a Trump rally. Let me say this. I don't know who instigated this. It probably, and I try to give the benefit of the doubt, it probably wasn't Trump people who started it, but I don't know. I do know every candidate, I am pretty sure, has had a protester or protesters at one or more of their rallies. At least they have if their campaign has received any traction. I know, for instance, that Ted Cruz has. I would imagine probably Rubio has. I don't know, Kasich perhaps. I know even on the Democrat side, I know that Hillary Clinton has had protesters. I know Bernie Sanders has had protesters, both with Black Lives Matter and maybe various other people as well. There were protesters at a Ted Cruz rally who actually tried to perform an exorcism. Wasn't much of an attempt at an exorcism, but perform an exorcism on Ted Cruz because they thought he was so ugly to look at that he must have been possessed. But anyway, they've had these protesters at basically every candidate's rally at some point. But there's been only one candidate that I know of in which literal fights have broken out. You've got, Trump has said, go ahead and hit him. I'll pay for your legal bills. I'll pay for your legal defense. You've got this one that I believe in North Carolina or wherever it was, where a man was allegedly sucker punched by a Trump supporter at a rally. But as I said, there's been one candidate that I know of in which literal fights have broken out. Tonight was just the extreme example of that, actually last night. And I said, I can't help but once again say that a Donald Trump presidency would rip apart and divide this country even more than has been the case under President Obama. And man, I will say, have we been divided under Obama. But there are just some people who in one fashion or another invite this type of thing, and Donald Trump is one of these people. I read his supporters saying, bring it on, and it's time. And I'm thinking, time for what? We are on the verge of something potentially very dangerous. We have made idols and heroes out of corruptible and corrupt men and women. We can't look to or follow their example or instructions, and we can't put our faith in them. Any of them, I will say. We must put our faith in, keep our eyes on, and look to God for safety, protection, and to build us and this country up again, if that is his will. Now, like I said, that what happened in Chicago really struck me. I put that on my Facebook page. But I got to thinking, too, as I was reading the Bible this morning, and this is where this whole evangelical supporting Trump and the whole evangelical, conversation regarding Trump, this is kind of what prompted it for me as I was reading the Bible this morning. I want to go to 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians even, but no, I want to go to 2 Corinthians. I want to go to chapter 11. I'm going to skip to a couple different places. Paul speaking, chapter 11, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Just hear me out here, Paul is saying. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's the goal. That's what we're to be. That's what we're to remain at his second advent. Verse 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I want to skip ahead to verse 13, and this is kind of the point. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, you're going to have, and as a matter of fact, we do have, these super preachers, these preachers of these mega churches. I'm not so much naming names. I'm not saying everyone who has a mega church is bad. That's for God to judge. Certainly, sometimes I may comment. Certainly, we can always look at someone's fruits. And also, as best as we can discern, decide that for ourselves, whether someone is actually teaching and sharing from the actual literal word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, ideally, or whether they are just passing out a bunch of spiritual fluff. But anyway, such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, the word here is not transformed in the Greek, it is disguised, meaning he will come disguising himself, even as the Messiah, before Christ himself actually returns, of course. But verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. But, you know, false teaching is so damaging to well-meaning Christians in this world and in this time in particular. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of false teachers down through the years. And when I think of these evangelicals who, and you know, he has a lot of evangelical support, does Donald Trump. And some of it from, as people have tried to explain it, some of it comes from Christians, evangelicals who feel powerless, who feel helpless, who feel hopeless. But, you know, if I may, don't look to a man to save you. Especially not this particular man, I would say. But look to God. Pray to God. And you know what? If you feel so empowered, if you have the talent, if you have the unction, be a leader or find a leader to actually help fight that battle for you, or to fight that battle, to help move that agenda forward, to stand for what is right, rather than just allowing some strong man, some smooth talker to come in and, quote, save the day for you. But, you know, I want to go back a little bit here. And unfortunately, because of some of the things I covered at the outset or mentioned at the outset, I won't have as much time as I would perhaps like. But, you know, I wanted to go back to kind of the roots. At least I think these are the roots of Donald Trump's faith. It's certainly someone who he's mentioned as being very complimentary of, who he has said influenced him as a young man and perhaps even as a boy, which was Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale, who, you know, I had heard the name before. This from Chaley's.com, a bit of an article on Norman Vincent Peale. I had heard the name before. I wasn't super familiar with him. I don't know if I was aware that him and his wife actually published Guidepost, which I'm sure is still out there, is still in existence. I know my mom, when I was a boy myself, used to have a subscription to, or used to sometimes get Guideposts and share them to me, and I got a lot of value out of them. But anyway, Norman Vincent Peale, who was a minister, if you will, but of course what he was known as was, and what Trump has referred to, was a best-selling book. A New York Times bestseller that was on the list of bestsellers for 186 consecutive weeks, sold 5 million copies. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking. And again, Norman Vincent Peale kind of combined Christianity with psychology, we'll say psychology and leave it at that. But he mixed God's word with other ideas, traditions, if you will. And he had some very, if I may, unchristian ideas and statements that he made as well. He is quoted here as saying, "Who is God? Some theological being? He is so much greater than theology. God is vitality. God is life. God is energy. As you breathe God in, as you visualize his energy, you will be re-energized." Well, from the magazine of positive thinking, well, where is that in the Bible? Can anybody tell me where that idea is at all brought forth in God's word? As a Christian minister, he also told Phil Donahue, "It's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God. I have mine. I found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine. I've been to Shinto shrines and God is everywhere. Christ is one of the ways. I'll repeat this. A Christian minister who had such an influence on Donald Trump saying Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere. Well, unfortunately, Christ didn't say he was one of the ways. Christ said he was the way. Was, is, and always will be, I will add. Now, people who believe in a different religion, people who believe in what have you, a different faith, God will judge them. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Christ is the way to the Father, that Christ is the way to eternal life. But it's what you had in Norman Vincent Peale was you had basically an inspirational speaker, a Tony Robbins, if you will, or a Joel Osteen of his day, who put more of a focus on that and spiritual goody-goody stuff than actually teaching the Word of God. Again, I believe that that is the foundation, if you will, perhaps, of Donald Trump's faith. Certainly, he again, am I trying to judge him? No. But certainly, he's singled him out as having a large influence on him. Now, I found this at, again, some of the people who are flocking or supporting, endorsing Donald Trump. You have Paula White, who is a prosperity preacher. This from ChristianPost.com, and it's been pointed out that many of these people supporting him of a Christian evangelical minister, mindset, leadership position, what have you, evangelist, many of them are these prosperity teacher types or people who maybe are more focused on influence and money than actually evaluating the character of a person and testing their fruits. But anyway, prosperity preacher Paula White claims Billy Graham gave Donald Trump prophetic word, signed Bible for 60th birthday. This from ChristianPost.com. Again, prosperity gospelist or gospel televangelist Paula White says evangelical icon Billy Graham signed a Bible and wrote a letter with a prophetic word and quotes in it for Donald Trump for his 60th birthday. Well, you know, so what? I mean that's nice. Basically, the gist of it is Donald Trump asked or mentioned to Paula White, who he apparently has known for 15 years, that he would like a signed Bible from Billy Graham. She was able to do that for him, which is good. Billy Graham attached a Bible verse or something supposedly prophetic when he signed it to Donald Trump. You know, like I said, big whoop. But it's nice, it's good, but big whoop. But she said also the candidate firmly believes that he is saved and noted that based on what she knows of him, Trump needs to be our next president. She vouched for Trump's bona fides as a believer before invoking the billionaire's association with Graham. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? White said of Crustin's, Trump has been frequently asked by Christian leaders in his circle. Emphatically, it was always yes, she said. And then she goes on to talk about how she acquired this Bible signed by Billy Graham for Donald Trump. And Christian Post also mentioning that they did their open letter, if you will, their editorial, encouraging evangelicals to back away from Donald Trump. And anyway, it goes on here. I'll post it on the American Faith Today Facebook page. She goes on to talk a little bit about saying that I think people are just looking for strong leadership. And they are possibly seeing that. This actually from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham saying, I think people are just looking for strong leadership, and they are possibly seeing that, I think, with Donald Trump. No question Donald Trump has tapped into that frustration. Paula White saying, most evangelicals are deeply concerned about the following issues, religious freedom, a clear understanding of religious freedom protection. We want to be able to do life, family, church, college, seminary, religious life without influence from the government. Currently, government outreach is destroying our ability to practice our faith according to our own conscience, and Christians have deep concerns that wholesale persecution is coming to the U.S. She says that after spending almost 15 years with Mr. Trump and sitting with him before hundreds of pastors, Mr. Trump is committed to protect our First Amendment. No, he's not. No, he's not. You know, again, as I've mentioned, as other people certainly have pointed out, this is the man who basically has said that anyone who, when he made the remark, anybody who objected to his idea to shut down the internet or portions of the internet on the basis of freedom of speech were foolish people. This is the man who wants to open up libel laws against the media so that they can easier be sued, not just for printing lies, but for basically printing negative articles, negative ads about someone. He has no concern whatsoever for freedom of speech or the First Amendment in this country. You know, but people see what they want to see with him. I will add that Paula White, again, not trying to judge her, but again, as people have roundly criticized her, just one example that was mentioned in occurred on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting, in 2007 from a women's convention in Orlando, Florida. She made the statement, "Anyone who tells you to deny yourself is from Satan." And this mentioned on deceptioninthechurch.com, which they follow up quite clearly with the Bible verse, Matthew 16:24. "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So Christ gave as a stipulation, as a command, as a condition, that if you want to follow him, if you want to go all in on following Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself in certain ways and basically in the whole way, in which certainly you come second, he comes first. Whatever you want, whatever your will, comes second to whatever his will may be. But again, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm running short on time here. I got about 10, 15 minutes here. There's a article here before it's news.com, a man by the name of Glenn Kennedy basically saying that. And, you know, I really, really hate this. I absolutely hate this. I mean, totally despise this. Because people are lying about God. Because people are putting words in God's mouth, so to speak, because people are, in my view, distorting what God, who God is, how he looks at things. Again, this article from Before's News, you've got this guy, Glenn Kennedy, who says he went to some prophet who basically has the message being that this prophet speaks to God, Glenn Kennedy going to this prophet to speak to God because, you know, any of us can speak to God. Any Christian can speak to God. You know, he loves to hear from his children. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. He really does. And, you know, you don't need a go-between. You don't need some self-proclaimed prophet. This guy, again, he documents some of the supernatural things. He says that this guy speaks to God directly, or God spoke to him directly through this prophet because God said things that only he could know. Well, you know, that could be true, and it's not true. I was reading this morning as well. Again, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 28, Saul going to the witch of Endor to try to conjure up Samuel. But did he conjure up Samuel? No, he went to the Witch of Endor, who dealt with familiar spirits, which is to say evil spirits, which is to say demonic spirits who would assume the identity in a means of deceiving someone of a deceased person, of a deceased individual. And certainly God sees and knows everything, and God knows even what we think. Satan doesn't know what we think, but certainly Satan sees basically more or less everything that people in this world do, just as God does as well. And that's part of the reason why he is the accuser day and night before the throne of God against the brethren, because there's nothing that he doesn't see either in that sense. But anyway, you know, again, it's just, it makes me mad because it's titled as saying, God says Donald Trump is America's last hope. Well, somebody please show me in the Bible, or from getting an idea of God's feelings, God's emotions, God's character, where he would ever say, where he would ever point to another human being as saying that that's who we need to put our hopes in, another man, rather than him, to glorify man rather than himself. It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Now, in the remaining time here, like I said, you've got evangelicals, you've got prosperity preachers, you've got Jerry Falwell Jr. I can't claim to understand or to pass judgment or to know without a shadow of a doubt what motivates these people. You know, I really can't. But I think that if you claim to be an evangelical, if you claim to be a Christian, if that's kind of a top priority for you in terms of what's important in the country, what values are important to you, what issues are important to you, certainly when he's out there sounding almost like a Democrat on Planned Parenthood, you know, when, again, Paul White saying that he will defend religious liberty. Well, he didn't defend Kim Davis, did he? He said he didn't stand up for her. He didn't stand up and really have much to say other than the Supreme Court has spoken when they usurped the will of the people, the voting power of the people, the ballot box of the people. The legislatures in each and every one of the 50 states and determined by their own fiat that gay marriage would be, quote, the law of the land. And Donald Trump basically said, well, that's it. That's the law of the land. And this is somebody who is going to protect Christians, who is going to stand up for religious liberty. This is a man who has basically said he would appoint two Supreme Court justices, one of who prosecuted Roy Moore for not removing the Ten Commandments from the courthouse in Alabama, another one who wrote the majority opinion telling how the state of Indiana could not defund Planned Parenthood at the state level. And, you know, again, I don't know what these people are thinking. I don't know. They have to answer that. They have to answer that for themselves. They might have to answer it to God. You know, again, I'm not judging them, but it's distressing. But anyway, a couple points against Donald Trump. Now, I posted the Christian Post editorial on the Facebook page for American Faith Today a while back. Again, they just point out Trump is a misogynist and a philanderer, saying he doesn't demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. He's a misogynist and a philanderer. He demeans women and minorities. His performed forms of communication are insults, obscenities, and untruths. And, again, he doesn't ask for forgiveness for any of these things. They say Trump claims he will protect Christians. We already have a protector, and he is not Trump. He, of course, is God. They point out his wanting to open up libel laws against the media and some other things as well. Now, also, Also from beforeitsnews.com, we have J.D. Rucker, who points out, here are some points that true evangelicals should consider about Donald Trump. His hotels lease space for strip clubs, promote casino gambling, and thrive on debauchery and fornication. The more that his patrons sin, the better off he is. He never even mentioned Jesus Christ. Even President Obama invoked our Lord and Savior's name, as did every president in the modern era. Trump is the only GOP candidate who refuses to even utter the words, let alone declare his glory or praise his sacrifice. He also, of course, has bragged in his books and on interviews about having sex with married women and is thrice divorced himself. As far as some of the pushback against that, that's addressed here as well, saying people who would say his faith is separate from his leadership abilities. Rucker says that goes against everything that the Bible teaches. While kings are not priests, with the exception of Melchizedek and Jesus Christ, the righteous leaders who can bring their country towards prosperity have been invariably beholden to their faith as they make decisions for their nation. He mentions Calvin Coolidge and Ronald Reagan, arguably the most faith-based American presidents of the last century, and are conspicuously the two best, though Coolidge, he says, is obviously underrated. The argument, Trump claims to be a Christian, who are we to judge? As Rucker points out, we are to know them by their fruits. Trump's fruits have been to wholeheartedly embrace sin and deny repentance for his whole life, which is very true. He only started mentioning God in the Bible during stump speeches in order to give evangelicals an excuse to support him. We do not judge him as a man, but we can and certainly should judge his fruits when deciding whether or not to vote for him. And then the whole mention of separation of church and state, the law of the land, Rucker says there's no need to go into the history of the doctrine that was originally established to maintain the sanctity of the church as a separate entity from government, even as it's been shifted in recent years, to keep Christianity out of as many aspects of American life as possible. But again, he mentions that no GOP candidate is promoting an unconstitutional shift towards a theocracy. Just like Reagan and Coolidge and most other presidents, the faith that allows for guidance from the Holy Spirit is what has made this country great. We have enjoyed prosperity as a gift from God, but the protective hand that has been over our presidents has started lifting in recent years. Trump is as secular, if not more so in his ideologies, than President Obama. Nobody knows God's plan, but we do know his doctrines and judgments. Trump may represent the true end to our protection as a nation. And nobody can say that, or nobody can know that. Anybody can say it. Anybody can theorize it. But there was an excellent article that I'm not going to have time to get into, unfortunately. It was from, let me see if I can find it here. It was written by Matthew Lee Anderson on MirrorOrthodoxy.com. But again, I want to close, I guess, with Renew America from Brian Fisher, talking about how the Bible actually does give instructions as to what type of person to vote for. Now, I always mention Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. I won't refer to them or won't read from it for time's sake. But he mentions Exodus 18:21, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people. And then he breaks this down, Brian Fisher does, saying the first attribute to look for is ability. Faculty, power, strength, ability, competence, capability, qualified for a task. So we have to ask, does he have the skill set that is required to do the job? Does he have the kind of background, experience, knowledge, and judgment to handle the responsibilities of the Oval Office? Does he have a sophisticated understanding of the Constitution and a demonstrated willingness to defend it and act on its principles? Or does he display a lack of familiarity with and respect for it? Does he have a track record of sound and consistent political judgment, or have his positions evolved to conform to changing cultural mores? We look to character. We look for a worthy person, noble character, strong character. Does he demonstrate godly character in his personal life, in his marriage, in his family, in his professional life? Is it worthy of imitation? How does he treat others and speak about them in public? Does he name call them? The third criterion, a reverence for God.